Elevating Jacksonville. Good morning. We're live from Studio 5, and this is First Coast Connect. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening. And just ahead this morning, we'll tell you about Elevate Jax, a new local program designed to empower our young people, prevent crime, and grow jobs. What are your questions? Join the conversation right now. Get on the line, 549-2937. Then later, the new PBS documentary on Howard Thurman, an influential civil rights leader from Jacksonville that you might not have heard of. Plus, Carrie Spegman with her top five countdown of things to do this weekend, all of that and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, it's a new effort here in Northeast Florida dedicated to helping the city's young people and reducing crime rates. John Heyman is the executive director of Elevate Jacksonville, a new nonprofit that's dedicated to empowering underserved high school kids in this city to graduate with a plan for the future. He joins us now in studio with more. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Good to be here again.
Good to have you on the show, of course. Many know you as the former head of the Jacksonville Children's Commission.
Correct.
So you're certainly well suited to lead this new effort. And as we talk about Elevate Jacksonville and multitudes of efforts, actually, to bring down crime in Jacksonville, we want your calls. It's 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online and send your emails to First Coast Connect at WJCT.org, tweets to at Melissa in Jax, and weigh in on Facebook as well. All right, so Elevate started actually out in Colorado decades ago and then made its way to Florida eventually. You are leading the new Jacksonville chapter of this national nonprofit, correct?
That's correct, Melissa. Some people say, oh, this is a new startup with no history and no stats and no results, but Denver, it's called Colorado Uplift and started about 35 years ago in the 80s, has tremendous success. Then Phoenix, then Orlando 10 years ago. They serve right in Orlando about 1,500 kids, and they have an amazing result of nearly 98% of the kids graduating and having a post-secondary plan for their life.
You've gotten up and running. You're in Raines High School already.
That's correct.
Can you turn your phone off? Thank you. You're already in Raines High School, and you hope to expand to other high schools soon. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Sorry about the phone.
I thought.
I turned it completely off. Anyhow, yes, Raines first. We already have two teachers up there, full-time teacher mentors. That's what we call them. And they do teach Florida-approved high school classes. Why did we go for the high school? Because often they are the neglected kids now. We have spent so much time paying attention to early learning, which is fantastic. We funded that heavily at the Jacksonville Children's Commission and middle schools. But high schools have been neglected for a number of years, and we wanted to follow the philosophy. It's never too early, and it's never too late to reach a child. So, yes, Rebalt High School is the second one.
Okay, so you're going from Raines to Rebalt.
Yes.
Building relationships with kids in the city's urban core. As I look at your website, Elevate talks about the fact that the majority of urban youth in this town lack even one caring adult in their life. They have higher dropout rates, higher unemployment rates, more likely to commit crime, less likely to go on to college. So you're using a model that's worked across the U.S. to change outcomes for these kids. Let me ask you, with all of the other programs in the schools like City Year and Teach for America, what can Elevate do that isn't already being done?
Great question. In fact, I was on the founding board for City Year, along with Michael Ward, who's the national board member of that fantastic organization. Now, Melissa, my history is I never want to duplicate what's already being done by another fantastic organization like Take Stock in Children or Communities in Schools or City or any of the others that you mentioned. This is unique because unlike any of the others, we teach an elective course, not a core course, not math, science, or social studies. We teach an elective Florida certified. The kids get an hour credit for it on their diploma. And it is very relational based. We also keep our staff for years and years. We don't want them just for 2 years. Nothing wrong with that model, but that's not our model. So that's another one. We want to follow these kids all the way up through college, military, or a career path that they make.
Not only do these teachers in the schools teach, they're mentoring kids both after school and on weekends. So the idea is to build a relationship with kids, I guess, most at risk of not having a positive future.
Exactly. Dartmouth Medical School put out a famous study. They were commissioned by the YMCA National, and it was called Hardwired to Succeed. And it was their medical school, not their social science school. So they did studies on brain research and concluded, oddly but beautifully, that the two major things help a child's mind develop. Number one, a meaningful relationship with a caring adult. That may sound like it's just fluffy words, but without that, a child will not develop right. And secondly, spiritual meaning in their life. We often avoid that issue. So we are going to do both of those issues at Elevate. No, we're not proselytizing. We're not telling people to come to our Baptist church. We're not doing any of that. But we are going to talk about spiritual meaning, what on earth are you doing on the earth here, kid? Mm-hmm. Whether you believe in God or not, it really doesn't mm-hmm. matter. What on earth are you doing? Have meaning in your life that goes beyond you.
Yeah. So. Now, this is a standalone nonprofit, independent board. You're the head of it, and you hope to expand to more schools within the next couple of years, correct?
Correct. I looked at this for well over a year and a half. This is not new for me. I was invited down to Orlando to take a look at it. I've been to Denver a couple times to see their flagship program there. It is amazing what you see inside the classrooms. What have we experienced already since January? We've only been in the classroom for 4 weeks. My two teachers tell me that people want to get in that classroom. We've become the largest startup in Elevate's history, which is really exciting for Jacksonville. So yes, I am the CEO. They just hired me 4 weeks ago, and I'm very excited about where this can go.
And it's 549-2937 as we talk about Elevate Jacksonville. What are your questions about that? And also efforts around town to get at the root of Jacksonville's high crime rate and ongoing gun violence. We'll go to your calls in a moment. It's 549-2937. Okay, so as the former head of the Jacksonville Children's Commission, John, you're certainly uniquely equipped to lead this effort. That commission was dissolved, and a new entity, the Kids Hope Alliance, was created in its wake. You were there through all of that. You've watched all of these efforts come and go. You've been heavily involved for many years in trying to help children in this city. As we look at the current political debate over crime in Jacksonville, I wanted to get your thoughts because, of course, we have an election coming up in a month. And Mayor Lenny Curry is facing several challengers, one in particular who has really gone at him on his record on crime, Republican Councilwoman Anna Broche. She released an attack ad against Curry yesterday, and we're going to listen to it now. It's mostly music and sound effects, so I'll read aloud the text that you see on the screen. Okay, so as you hear gunshots ringing out and children crying, what you see written on the screen is Mayor Lenny Curry promised a safer city. Now, 3 years later, violence is up. The mayor ran on crime, and he should be forced to confront it. Jacksonville led Florida in mass shootings in 2018, stopped the Curry crime wave. Mayor Curry's campaign spokesman, Tim Baker, denounced this ad and said it was exploitative and hitting below the belt. So the politics around this are getting quite ugly, and we are to see more of this in the next several weeks. As someone who's really been involved, not in the political world, but in the nonprofit world, trying to really help children and strengthen families, which is the key, you know, to getting at the heart of this, how do you think the city should proceed when it comes to this issue?
Well, first of all, the attack ads are clearly on both sides, as you know, and I think the fact checkers are going to look both at Mayor Curry's Political Action Committee commercials as well as Anna Broche's, and that's good. I hope they debate publicly. I think the public deserves to see the two of them together several times. That would be my advice if they were asking for it. However, I'm not here to campaign for either one of the candidates, mm-hmm. but if these candidates, all of them, not just these two, are serious about children, and I think they are, first of all, we would necessarily not believe that you can arrest yourself out of this, as John John Rutherford used to say when he was sheriff, now Congressman Rutherford. But we've got to create a deliberate, intentional focus on kids. It can be done, but it hasn't been done in a long time. I've worked with 5 mayors and 5 superintendents, so I know it can be done. As I mentioned, Dartmouth Medical School. But I will say, there are a lot of wonderful role models in this city, but not nearly enough of them. This is what I would ask the mayors to do. I would call for a deliberate focus on kids. Get the KHA, United Way, DuPont, all the funders, to create an at number one, gather them together. Instead of reacting to the last shooting, gather them together and be deliberate about what the city already has and where are the gaps. By the way, that's why I started Elevate. It's filling a gap. Mm-hmm. However, they need to create what's called an asset map. It's not that hard to do. The last one was done about 10 years ago. And then coordinate the services by categories. Categories meaning age categories, pre-K, elementary, middle, high school, even up into college and young adults. What's going on with them? What services are there? And the second is the services themselves. After school services, in school services, mental health services, any kind of, even sports services that are provided by the nonprofits. Asset map all these things and then create a needs-based focus on what do we still need to reach these kids? Which of the programs need to be beefed up? Too many programs come and go into the schools, and the schools and the children are used to being abandoned by nonprofits. Not the good ones, because there are good ones that have staying power. But the mayor needs to focus on which ones have staying power. Let them mentor. This is a good mentoring program. Let that mentor the smaller organizations into becoming large, effective organizations. So there is a number of things any mayoral candidate can get really serious about this issue.
And do you think the Kids Hope Alliance is equipped to do that? It replaced the agency you led, the Jacksonville Children's Commission.
Well, I'm glad that the city still focuses on children and are spending about $38 million. That's what it was when I left, and I think it's at that range now, still now, which is fine. We are not the highest amount of all the children's services councils in the state of Florida. We're certainly not even proportionally the highest. I think it needs to beef that issue up. And it's not only about money, but it is about effectiveness. So do I think that I really have not been involved with the KHA enough to really answer that question. I'm going to hope that it is. I've met with Mr. Peppers. He heads it up. And I'm going to hope that it is.
It's 549-2937. As we talk about Elevate Jacksonville, what are your questions? What are your thoughts about Jacksonville's continuing high crime rate and what we should do about it? 549-2937. Mary is in Jacksonville Beach. Hi, Mary. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think the program sounds wonderful. I had the opportunity to work within the Duval County school system. And my question is, how will the Elevate infiltrate the parents? And I'm specifically talking about middle school and high school. It's wonderful to bring these programs into the schools, and to have several classes. However, how is that information being dispersed to other parents? And just from my, opportunity of working in the school, and parents, there's a huge disconnect. Number one, parents are working. Parents are not home with these kids. And then there's the whole adolescent, teenage. Parents need to really get on board and understand it's a time that they have to really dig in, put their heels in, and really, the pre-primary, middle school ages, that's not where it really starts. It starts more at this level, and they really need to get in there and be more active and involved in their children's lives. And so how will information be trickled down to the parents? And then, with that being said, to the teachers. So many times there were students, and I'll stop after this, but who were labeled as disruptive, disobedient, not going anywhere. And all it took was for me just to extend love, light, and a little bit of my time to see those children turn around and to really dive back in and to take the initiative and be an advocate for themselves and their education.
Okay, Mary, thank you for all of those comments. Yeah, okay. The parents. Now, you're working with kids who might not have a functioning two-parent household, but what about her question?
Yeah, predominantly that's the case, and I think the question is excellent. I loved your remarks about when you were a teacher, you would expend a little extra time. Remember, teaching is more than a career. It's more than a commitment. It is clearly a calling. Those who feel that sense of calling will spend that time building the relationships, as I mentioned, the Dartmouth study just a few years ago. Back to your question concerning parents. Every parent of a child that's in Elevate has to sign a permission slip and a media release. So they already know what's going to happen. They know about the 420 lesson plans. They know about the time that will be spent being taught the 13 character skills. As you know, some of the parents in the poor areas of the city are not necessarily unloving. They're sometimes working two and three jobs. It's what we call the working poor. However, to your point that sometimes, and I've been told at Raines and some of the other schools, the parent participation is very low. So yes, we are going to have, in fact, this coming Saturday at Raines, we are having an event from 9 till I think about 2 o'clock. For the high school kids and the parents to come out to Raines, and we will be, along with other organizations, we will be talking to parents about what Elevate does. So getting to the parents, even though that is not our major focus, is clearly a critical issue.
There's a parent academy, actually, that Duval County Public Schools has set up to try to work with parents. And that's been on the ground now for a few years, I believe. That was started by the former superintendent, Nicolai Vitti.
Yes, actually, yeah. It was his doctoral dissertation, and he put it into practice up here in Duval, and it's very successful. I understand they have thousands of parents coming, and Raines is one of those.
Right, but as you're saying, though, John, your primary focus is to work with, to mentor kids who might not have a strong family structure around them, which is the heart of the problem, as Mary knows, because she worked in the school system.
Well, as you know, the older the kids get, the stronger and more the stronger their muscle memory becomes. And if I can quickly illustrate that, holding a baseball bat is different than holding a hockey stick, different than holding a tennis racket, different than holding a golf club. Each one of those becomes a very different practice for whoever loves those particular sports. I remember the old movie Happy Gilmore from Adam Sandler, where the hockey player had to turn into a golfer and learn how to interlock his fingers in a very, very odd, strange way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for somebody to change their muscle memory in sports, they have to practice the uncomfortable till it becomes comfortable, the unnatural until it becomes natural, so that when they don't hold that stick that way, it feels uncomfortable. That's muscle memory. So with high schoolers, we believe that we can interrupt and, quite frankly, arrest the development of their muscle memory. The older folks get, including parents, it becomes more difficult to change the practices and muscle memory in their life. Doesn't become impossible, but more difficult. We believe that working with the kids will have a ripple effect in their families.
So if it's harder to reach a high school kid than a preschool kid, how do you do it?
Well, we do it by relations. This is a relational, in fact, we put that in our documents. This is a relational program. Hence, yes, they teach the classes, but they also, you had mentioned it earlier, Melissa, that they work on weekends and in the evenings. So we partner with fantastic organizations like YMCA, Young Life, Boys and Girls Club to have activities for the kids after school, not just during school. So they mentor. It's a deliberate, paid mentoring that occurs. That may sound awkward to people, but we know that the children are going to have somebody there.
And it's interesting because there are so many opportunities to serve as a mentor in a volunteer capacity. Yep. And lots of people do that. But you're paying people to do this. This is their actual job. And I would think if you're being paid, you're going to be more consistent and more dedicated over time than if you're just volunteering. Is that the key to the model?
Yes. The good mentoring programs follow up with their mentors enough to keep them going. I ran Take Stock in Children for a number of years, about 12 years, and I know the importance of a volunteer mentor as well. And we will develop a volunteer mentoring program. Hopefully we'll partner with Take Stock as well, and Big Brothers and Big Sisters for that. But our folks are deliberate mentors with these children. It is part of their job.
Here's a tweet for you. Ken, we hear how Elevate Jacks fits into other national programs in other cities like Ceasefire and Cure Violence. And his recommendation for a dedicated funding source. Now, two questions there. Are you planning to partner with organizations that are looking at gun violence And then the second question, in recent weeks, we've had a number of guests on this program saying the city needs a dedicated funding source, a Marshall Plan that would outlast more than one mayoral administration, that is dedicated to the root causes of crime and addressing them in a holistic way, a dedicated funding source.
Yes, I am thoroughly in favor of a dedicated funding source, which even the years I was there, we just could not get done for the Jacksonville Children's Commission, nor is the KHA. In other words, you said it perfectly. It survives mayoral elections, and that is powerful. All the other children's services councils in the state have that. Jacksonville is the only one that does not have that. There's been attempts to do it. It has not worked yet. However, it needs to be. And if any mayoral candidate wants me to help them with that, I certainly am at their beck and call.
Right. And then his other question is interesting, too. Groups like Cure Violence that go into a city and they approach gun violence and crime rates as a public health issue. They treat it like a public health emergency, and they've had some success.
Oh, absolutely. It is. As long as you're partnering with people, with organizations that actually are having and making the relationships with the kids are not going to give their guns up. Remember, kids will work for somebody. It's going to be either for Blue Cross Blue Shield or JP Morgan Chase, or they're going to work for a gang. They're going to work for somebody someday. And if we, for lack of a better word, love bomb these kids, I know it sounds soft and silly, but it's true. It was true of my life. I was born in Greece. I don't know who my parents are. And until I was, quote, love bombed by the Haymans here and adopted by the Haymans, my life would have been awful. I was in a trafficking situation. They rented me out in Greece, and I used to do awful things there.
Wow. So, I don't know that many people know that about you.
Yeah. Given up at birth to the Athens Children's Asylum, which is still there in Greece. It's not an asylum anymore, but it's still there. We saw it a few years ago. It is just like it was when I was a kid. I have awful memories of it. When we were dumped in the bread box, a doctor would then sign a death certificate. And therefore we were not human anymore. So they could rent and sell us out to people on the streets who then would force us to go up to the Acropolis, the Parthenon, the famous building in Greece. We'd have to steal rubble or try to steal from tourists. And if you've seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire, it's really quite the same. As you can see, Melissa, but your audience can't, I have all my fingers and all my toes. They never did that to me, which they do to a lot of children, to make the children
so
look
that,
poorer.
To make them more attractive, so that when they're begging for money,
you got it.
People are more likely to, tourists are more likely to give them
That's
money.
That's exactly right.
So they literally mutilate kids too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, hearing this about your childhood, John, I think is so powerful because it explains your lifelong dedication to vulnerable children.
Yes, it does.
And I'm really glad you shared that with us. I think that's really helpful for people to understand why John is so involved in this. And, you know, there are so many vulnerable children right here in this town. And so let's take a few more of your calls. It's 549-2937. Doran is on the west side. Hi, Doran. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. I've got a question. This sounds like a really fantastic program. I would think that the good kids, if you'll allow me to use that really broad term, the good kids are going to take this elective course. How do you get the kids who are most likely to offend, most likely to misbehave, or even commit acts of violence to take a course like this? Because those are the kids who need it most. The good kids are the ones who are probably going to be most likely to sign up for it. I'd love to hear the answer.
Yeah, good question. Thank you.
Doran, that's an excellent question. And in designing the program for Jacksonville, we said we did not want the top half of the student population. Our target population, the guidance counselors and the principals know this, is, listen carefully, is the top half of the bottom half of the student population. It's what the school system calls the bubble children, that without assistance, they probably will not graduate high school and they clearly will not have a plan after high school. Now, do we get the children that are the bottom half of the bottom half? Yes, we get them. But there are a lot of programs already for those kids, a lot of DJJ programs for them. We wanted to target the bubble kids, the forgotten population in our high schools. So I hope that clears up your question.
So these are kids that could go either way.
Yes.
They could have a future, or they could go right into selling drugs, gang banging, They're right on the precipice. That's the population. And are they, how do you entice them to do the class?
Well, they're recommended by the school system, by the guidance counselors. However, I will tell you that the first couple weeks of our teachers being with them, they did ask the students did ask the typical questions like, why are you doing this to our teachers? Why are you doing this for us? Who are you? Are you going to be here next semester? All the questions that the kids are used to, because they're so used to being abandoned. And yes, they will work for somebody. So we believe that if our teachers there are there for years, these kids will develop a meaningful relationship with them and will choose the right track. But you're absolutely right. They could go either way.
549-2937. As we talk about Elevate Jacksonville with CEO John Heyman, a new effort in high schools in Duval. Jay is in Murray Hill. Hi, Jay. How are you? Good morning.
Wonderful. Good morning.
Hey, go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. So, yeah, one of the things I agree with a lot of what I'm hearing. One of the things I was thinking about also is that, you know, in my interaction with a lot of youth and teens and kids that identify as being in gangs or closely affiliated, they refer to their crew or their gang as family. And what I really believe is a lot of what we're talking about, you know, I think gangs are the symptom of a lot of what we, you know, of a broken family issue. Mm-hmm. And so I think it presses the point how important programs like this are for grabbing those kids that are actually just simply forgotten, because, you know, you can have a great day with them, but they have to return back to whatever block they live on and live within those circumstances and dynamics and everything that happens there. But I think we have a family problem. So I think, you know, I think people feel like we have a lot of programs, but I don't think all of the programs are actually effective. So I think we need to look at that. And I think that's okay. It's a very hard thing. And I think that it, you know, you have to keep looking through the details and combing through it to make it better and to serve the population better. But I think that, you know, we need to have a very big push for mentors on a way larger level. For sure, because I think a lot of these kids are just missing somebody walking through life with them side by side. And, you know, just the other year I was mentoring a kid and he asked me, it was like the last week of school, and he was telling me that one of his family members got shot. And he said, well, the problem is my whole family, you know, including the adults in his family, are pretty much getting ready to take revenge. And they want me to be involved. And he was saying, I don't want to be involved. And it really hit me in that moment that this kid actually didn't have the bandwidth of any even reasonable adults in his life to advise him. Just with a simple situation like that, where he felt pressured by the adults that were leading him to not do something that was, you know, criminal or a crime. And so that's why I think that voice of mentors and programs like this are so desperately needed.
Thank you for that, Jay.
Yeah, thanks. Your observation was fantastic, Jay. I don't know if you had a question in there, but you probably answered your own question. These kids do need more role models. If you looked at the data of the dropouts, the hugest disparity right now, and I mean by about 15% of graduates, is between the white males and the black males. So we know where the majority of the issues are. And these kids, as you said, you didn't use the term, but as you said, they come to school with their home curriculum. And after school is over, they've got to go back to those neighborhoods. This program probably can't fix all of that, but we can create a meaningful relationship for every single one of these kids. And if you're mentoring a child, keep on doing it. We need a lot more of you.
We have a follow-up question about that. It's Mary in Mandarin. Hi, Mary. How are you? You're on the air.
Hi. So this program seems amazing, and I'm just listening. And how can, you know, your average Duval resident help? How can we volunteer? What is there, you know, for us to promote Elevate?
Sure. Thanks for that question.
That's a great question, Mary. You're not an average person if you're calling into the show. So thank you very much. You are definitely interested and you want to be involved. I bet you already are involved. However, we have not set up anything yet. We're a very small staff of only 4 people right now. We are going to continue to grow. The other night when the superintendent spoke to an event for us, she told her vision for Elevate going into Rebolt and then some other schools, Westside High School, First Coast High School, a bunch of them. So yes, we have an awful lot to do. What we are going to eventually set up is a way for folks to volunteer in any particular way that you want to. Some people don't want to be a mentor. Some want to help out with events. Some want to help out with donations. There's a lot of different ways, but we've not set that up yet. As I probably mentioned earlier, and we've only been on the campus for 4 weeks, so please give us a little time and please go to our website, elevatejacksonville.org, to keep up with what we're doing.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Elevatejacksonville.org, and let's take another call about it. It's Ken in Ponte Vedra. Hi, Ken. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Question is, how can I help? I did this for 24 years solo as a teacher in California.
Oh, okay. And you'd like to help out with Elevate?
Well, I can help out with Elevate. I have a credential in special ed, math, English, and social studies. And I had for 12 years classes ranging from 8 to 24 students, all at risk, but a lot of them emotionally disturbed and high functioning. And I'm used to setting up relationships with the students and the class. And
you're just wondering what you can do to help. Sure. Okay.
Right. I don't know if my credentials are transferable to Florida.
Right, right. So what should Ken do, John? How can Ken plug into, even if it's not Elevate, another effort that would make good use of his skills?
Well, first of all, you could, with Elevate, look at our website. We will be opening up more jobs, teaching jobs. You need a degree, which sounds like you obviously have one, perhaps more than one. We don't have to have teacher certification because we're teaching an elective. But you could look at our website. When we open up the jobs, please send your resume in. And it sounds like it's a very rich resume. But on another hand, if you're looking to get involved, if you're new to Jacksonville, the Nonprofit Center of Northeast Florida, yeah. Nonprofit Center of Northeast Florida, look up their website. They will post jobs there as well that might interest you.
Yeah, Ken, I hope that's helpful. And I'm sure that someone will snap you up quickly. So, Ken, Adam Ponte Vedra, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And good luck. And John Heyman, again, as you said, it's elevatejacksonville.org. We appreciate you stopping by as this just gets going, and we hope you'll come back and keep us posted later on this year.
I would love to, Melissa. Thank you.
John Heyman, CEO of Elevate Jacksonville, with us this morning, and much more still ahead. Up next, a preview of Backs Against the Wall, the new PBS documentary about the influential civil rights and religious leader Howard Thurman. Right from here on the First Coast, we'll tell you about his story next. Well, welcome back. This week on PBS, we will be airing a look at the life of an influential civil rights and religious leader who hailed from Jacksonville. Take a listen.
He was born the grandson of slaves, yet Howard Thurman would become one of the most celebrated religious figures of the 20th century. A spiritual mentor to Martin Luther King Jr.
Whether we want it that way or not, we all tied.
and a moral anchor for the civil rights movement.
Martin Luther King Jr. would quote Howard Thurman on many, many occasions.
I think Howard Thurman, for many leaders in that movement, King included, played the role of pastor.
That's a preview of the PBS film Backs Against the Wall, the Howard Thurman story. It airs tomorrow night here on WJCT Television, and it explores the life and impact of Howard Thurman, who was born in Daytona Beach and trained at Jacksonville's Baptist Seminary. He was a fascinating figure, but not enough people here around Northeast Florida know of Thurman and his incredible impact. So we spoke about this with Luther Smith, Professor Emeritus of Church and Community at the Candler School of Theology at Emory University. He has written extensively about Howard Thurman. Here are his reflections. Luther Smith, thanks for being with us.
Gladly.
So tell me a little bit about Howard Thurman, an incredibly influential figure that I think not nearly enough people in Jacksonville and around our First Coast know about. Who was Howard Thurman?
Well, during Howard Thurman's lifetime, which is 1899 until 1981, he was a very prominent figure, not only in religious circles, but also in academic circles. He's especially noted for being the first African-American to meet with Gandhi in 1936, and who brought back to the United States Gandhi's understanding of nonviolence as a means of social transformation for matters of justice. And so many look to Thurman as a mentor, having been the messenger coming back from the meeting with Gandhi. And he influenced significant civil rights leaders, Vernon Jordan, Martin Luther King Jr., Jesse Jackson, John Lewis, just so many who were seminal in the whole movement of civil rights. And persons found with him the understanding of how issues of social justice and human rights were deeply grounded in spiritual transformation. And Thurman is one who was both an innovator, both in matters of social justice, but also in matters of spirituality. And so he was a very prominent figure who was often assessed as one of the leading preachers in the United States, but I think also one of the leading prophets in the United States.
Now, this was a man who trained at Jacksonville's Baptist Seminary, but he's renowned even today for being this mystical sort of figure in terms of how decades before it became popular, he was into meditation, for example. And so can you talk a little bit more about why he was such a leading edge figure in terms of spirituality?
Well, Thurman studied under Rufus Jones, a Quaker mystic, and Jones introduced Thurman to many in the whole field of mysticism, especially Meister Eckhart. And for Thurman, Jones is someone who really indicated how the mystic tradition was also deeply connected to social transformation. Jones himself was very involved in this work as a Quaker. Thurman, I think, in many ways, was naturally contemplative. As a child, his way of dealing with his personal turmoils was to make his way to the beach or the Halifax River, but especially an oak tree in the backyard. And once he poured out his heart to his oak tree, it seemed as if matters for him were greatly addressed by that kind of connection. So Thurman had a nature mysticism even before he was introduced to the great mystics of the Christian tradition. And this so resonated, I think, also with what he detected in the spirit of his own mother and grandmother about a way of relating to life beyond simply words of belief, but also having a very intense and conscious relationship with God.
Now, as I heard about this production, Against the Wall, and I learned about Howard Thurman, it occurred to me that he's the latest in a long line of incredibly influential figures in the civil rights movement who came from Jacksonville or near Jacksonville, but that not nearly enough people in Jacksonville even know of, such as A. Philip Randolph, who led the put together the March on Washington, and James Weldon Johnson, who was this towering figure. You know, in recent years in Jacksonville, there's been a push to better tell the story of these giants of the civil rights movement. And it seems to me that Howard Thurman's name needs to be added to that list as well. What are your thoughts about the fact that these figures aren't as recognized here on the First Coast as they need to be?
I think you're absolutely right. And my explanation for this, that there are several strands. One is too often the successes of the civil rights movement are attributed to those who are marching and who are involved in legal cases. I think it would best be said, too often it's only attributed to those who are marching and who are doing the legal work. And it fails to take seriously the kind of sources that inform the marchers as to why they are marching and empowers the marchers and the protesters in their work. And this was one of the things that those who were involved in the Nashville movement, one of the seminal times of the whole civil rights movement, understood, so much so that, as one of their members told me, there were two books we studied as we were involved in this movement. One was, of course, the Bible in grounding us in terms of this being a matter of ultimate significance. And the second was Howard Thurman's book, Jesus and the Disinherited. That's a book that Martin Luther King Jr. carried with him during the Montgomery boycott. Jesse Jackson said he carried it with him every day. It informed so many in that work. But too often, I think, both in the academy as well as in the media, the sources of empowerment and renewal are lost to those who primarily get the attention out of their public witness, which is deeply important, but we really misread history if we only have that focus and we're not attending to those who are very much a source of significance to those who are publicly involved with their own form of activism.
Well, the good news is people will be able to learn more when WJCT screens Backs Against the Wall, the Howard Thurman story. So, Luther Smith, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you very much.
Again, that's Backs Against the Wall, the Howard Thurman story, airing on WJCT 7-5, our WJCT World Channel. It airs tomorrow night, February 8th at 9 p.m., so make sure to catch it. Still to come, we speak with indie rock troubadour Rayland Baxter, a preview of his show tonight at the Murray Hill Theater, and also Kerry Speckman's top five things to do around town this weekend. You're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Coker Law wants you to know if you or a loved one has been injured through the negligence of a driver, business owner, or defective product. They can help. Learn more at CokerLaw.com.
UF Health North on Max Leggett Parkway is the region's newest hospital and outpatient medical center, featuring all private rooms, 12 labor and delivery suites, full imaging, surgical services, and 24-hour emergency care. More at north.ufhealthjax.org.
Together we will defeat AIDS in America and beyond.
President Trump says he wants to stop the spread of HIV in the next decade. Advocates say that's doable, but
we need to be watchful on the administration to make sure that they're not doing anything that's cross purposes at reaching the goals of this initiative.
Cautious optimism on efforts to curb HIV. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Next time on The World.
It seems like Venezuela has sort of come full circle.
Democratic Venezuela went broke in the 1990s. Socialist Hugo Chavez came to power promising to fix the economy. Now Juan Guaido is tapped into Venezuelan discontent.
About inequality, poverty, and corruption. And that's what Chavez did.
A quick economic history of Venezuela on The World. This afternoon at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
The news can be exhausting. Keeping up sometimes feels like a superhuman effort. Even the world's biggest, most trusted news organizations have had to adjust. But how? We'll share highlights from a special event featuring Michael Barbaro of the New York Times and the BBC's Caddy Kay, next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. That's Rayland Baxter, the indie rock troubadour, and his band play the Murray Hill Theater Saturday night. I misspoke a minute ago. It's Saturday night. Baxter told us a little bit about the show and his new album, Wide Awake.
There's a start and there's a beginning. And in between, it's a roller coaster ride of rock, melody.
That's Rayland Baxter. Go see his show Saturday night, February 10th, 8 o'clock. At Murray Hill Theater. And finally, this hour, what else is going on this weekend?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey! Harry Speckman, a.k.a. The Spectator, is here to count down her top 5 picks of what to do.
That's me.
Hello there.
How are you?
Okay, so you've got your top 5 for the weekend.
I do.
And it's a good list.
Why? Thank you very much.
As always, let's begin with number 5.
5. I wish you could. Everyone could see how excited you get to do that.
I know. I'm gesticulating wildly.
Peter Pan at Theater Jacksonville. This is a new adaptation of the classic story. It's kind of an adult version, and it is told from Captain Hook's point of view.
Very nice.
And it has original songs and music by Jason Woods. This is a stage reading of
Jason Woods does these amazing one-man shows.
Yes.
And a very talented performer. So go see Peter Pan.
Three shows only
this Saturday at Theater Jacksonville. That'll be a great show.
And they do, it is PG-13 due to content and language.
Okay, so leave the little ones at home. All righty.
Yes.
Number 4. Now, wait a minute. Michael Bolton coming to town.
I'm gonna get,
on your list.
I know.
Have you not seen Office Space, the film?
I was going to get grief. I actually saw him in Biloxi a couple years ago, and I was amazed at how great he still sounded. I mean, if you like his music, you...
9 number one hits.
Yes.
According to your little abstract here.
When a man loves a woman, how am I supposed to live without you? That's probably maybe the biggest one, but he actually... And he was kind of charming because he didn't...
He's actually had a good sense of humor about people mocking him. So that speaks well of him.
Yeah, I enjoyed it and I didn't think that I would, so...
Yeah, cool. Okay, so Michael Bolton at the Florida Theater Sunday night.
Yes.
Number 3.
3.
I'm going to start taking pictures.
This is the best part of my day. Okay, the Jax Eats Food Festival coming up this weekend at Veterans Memorial Arena.
It is the second annual event. They will have unlimited food samples from local restaurants, V's Pizza, Metro Diner, Seafood Kitchen, and Smash Restaurant, which is also the ping pong bar. You can play ping pong there also. And it's right before the Iceman game.
So some hockey too.
So you get your ticket includes a ticket to the game.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Okay, so go on out to the arena Saturday, enjoy food from all the best restaurants in town at the Jax Eats Food Festival, and then stick around for a hockey game starting at 7 p.m. That's Carrie's number three. Number two. Monty Python's Spamalot coming to town Monday night.
I'm a huge Monty Python fan from way back. My dad, I probably didn't even get half the jokes at the time.
Right.
But it's a Tony Award winner for Best Musical. And I think one of the Monty Python members wrote it. But it's obviously a musical. And if you've seen the movie, then
the Holy Grail. This is the Holy Grail set to music.
Yes. Yeah. And I've seen it and it's fabulous. And I am not a person who is a big musical fan, but I loved it.
Yeah, of course. So that's Spamalot Monday night at the TU Center. And now as we count our way down to Carrie's top pick for the weekend, number one. And you gotta catch this one. It's Carol Burnett, An Evening of Laughter and Reflection at the TU Center.
That was an easy number one,
yes.
I have to say. Everybody knows and loves Carol Burnett for many reasons, probably mostly the Carol Burnett Show, which won 25 Emmys, by the way.
Yeah, how about that?
And so during the show, she would come out and answer questions from the audience.
Sure.
So that's kind of basically how this is going to work. She's going to answer questions. She has no idea what people are going to ask. That's what she said she loved about this. And then they're going to show clips from the show.
Oh, that's great.
And, yeah.
Oh, a living legend.
She is.
Yeah, don't miss your chance to go see Carol Burnett live on stage tomorrow night, Friday night, 8 o'clock at the Times Union Center. She'll share clips from her beloved variety show, which has
She'll do the Tarzan yell.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
You know, my favorite of all time was the Gone with the Wind skit.
Yes.
Where she had
bet you people will dress up like that.
Yes, that'd be great.
I bet they will.
Yeah, go meet Carol Burnett Friday night and go to thespectator.com for a full list of events. That was her top five. So a nice curated look at the weekend just for our listeners.
Yes, it is.
And happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank you, ma'am.
And thanks for
happy
being
belated,
here.
Happy belated Groundhog Day.
That's one of my favorite movies. That's our show. Thanks for listening. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Michelle Corum is our director. If you missed anything this morning, catch our rebroadcast tonight at 8 o'clock. And keep listening for the Electro Lounge if you're listening at night. 1A is up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and we'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.